Good afternoon. Let's try that again. We all know call and response. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
thank you. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Assistant Dean Dion Lewis in the Office of African American Affairs and Director of the Luther P. Jackson Black Cultural Center. And I welcome the alumni back to the university for Black Alumni Weekend 2011. I hope you're enjoying your time here. Let's give them a round of applause. The Office of African American Affairs was asked to coordinate this panel discussion so that you can get the current voices of the current students telling you what their experience is like so you can compare to your experiences. I'm going to introduce our panelists now. First, we have Isaac Bauer. He's a fourth-year student from Richmond, Virginia. His major is computer science. He's a member of Brothers United Creating Knowledge of Success and Iota Beta Chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. Isaac. Next to Isaac, we have Erica Washington. She's a third-year student, political philosophy, policy, and law major, and an African-American studies minor. She's from Washington, D.C. She's a member of the Kappa Rho Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority and president of the University of Virginia's National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Erica, thank you. Next to Erica, we have Evan Shills. He's a third-year student, political and social thought major with a minor in leadership from the McIntyre School of Commerce. He grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, He currently resides in Atlanta, Georgia. After serving UVA student groups as student council vice president this past year, Evan has recently been selected as the incoming chair of the Minority Rights Coalition. Evan. Lauren Murphy. Lauren Murphy is the current president of the National Society of Black Engineers. Her major is biomedical engineering with a minor in mechanical engineering. She's from Cheston, Virginia. Lauren is also a member of the Delta Sigma Theta Kappa Rho chapter here at the University of Virginia. Okay. Next to Lauren, we have Alicia Dunning. Alicia is a third-year student from Amherst, Virginia. Her majors are African American Studies and English. English is her minor. Lauren is also the current president of the One Way Christian Fellowship and a member of the Young Women's Leaders Program of the Women's Center of the University of Virginia. Lauren. And last but not least, Dewan Walker. Dewan is the current president of Brothers United Celebrating Knowledge of Self, aka Bucks. He's from Newport News, Virginia. He's a fourth-year student, philosophy major, African American Studies minor. Dewan is also a member of the Peer Advisor Program. Dewan, thank you. And last but not least, our moderator for today is Boyega Adebayo. Boyega is a fourth-year student here at the University of Virginia. He's majoring in government, and his minor is in leadership through the McIntyre School of Commerce. He's founder of Money Lit, a student organization which strives to promote financial literacy for current undergrads. Boyega, thank you. Let's give our panelists a round of applause.
Can you guys hear me? Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for coming out. And first, we'll start off with each panelist just briefly talking about themselves, a quick synopsis of what you would say your experience at UVA is, and also why did you decide UVA? Start with Isaac.
Good afternoon, everybody. As he said, my name is Isaac Bauer. I guess starting off, going in chronological order, I guess I'll speak on my experiences as to why I chose University of Virginia. I only applied to three colleges, and speaking with a lot of my peers, that actually seemed to be a very low number in comparison to a lot of people. Like, my cousin applied to 11. A lot of my peers did 6 or 7. I mean, I only did 3, honestly, because of the money. I wasn't trying to pay. So I got into University of Virginia. It really wasn't my first choice, but I was kind of in denial because this is where my heart is, because I had family members who actually graduated from here. First choice was University of Maryland. The main reason was I wanted a different experience outside of the state of Virginia, but I still wanted to be within, you know, arm's reach of home in case I wanted to get home. What actually ended up bringing me here was actually the cost, actually being able to have the financial aid, the success and the stature of UVA being one of the top public schools and schools overall within the nation, the United States. And also the quality of the engineering program that was here as well. I had decided that I wanted to be a computer science major and be in the engineering field prior to, prior to actually coming to University of Virginia. So based upon those credentials, based upon being familiar with the area, within, you know, still being with close enough to home to see my parents and my family, University of Virginia ended up being a place where I am now. My experience, as far as being a student here, it's probably much different from my fellow panelists here. Although I'm a fourth year, I have been here for over 4 years already. I am currently a fifth year. I'm still currently a fifth year. I will be graduating in May. But those experiences, I've actually been able to actually been blessed by God to actually mature more and learn a lot more out about myself outside of the books. I guess that's really attributed to being here for more than 4 years, actually seeing myself grow and noticing the changes and learning from the mistakes and actually applying what I learned. And that's a lot through with the experiences that I've had with my peers and even outside of classes, and not necessarily what I learned, but how I go about learning it and applying it to things in life.
Hi, I'm Erica Washington. In reference to why I chose the University of Virginia, how I ended up here, I'm from D.C., so Washington, D.C. I grew up, raised my whole life in the city, and this was the only school that I actually applied to that was not in a city. So I never really thought I was going to end up at the University of Virginia. I actually visited every school, which was 11. I applied to 11, and I got into 11, and I visited every single school, which is disgusting. But I ended up not liking any school that I visited. I actually didn't like one of them. I don't know if I had some sort of idea that the heavens would open up as soon as I went onto a college campus and every movie that I'd seen and, you know, people would be partying in the streets and welcoming me, and that just didn't happen. And so I was like, oh, where am I going to go? But in the end, UVA ended up being the cheapest school. So, you know, I came and I love it. And I'm so happy every day that I made this decision. That's how I ended up here. Also, I want to say Dean Terry. That's really how I ended up here. But other than that, you know, she came and spoke in D.C., and I just thought she was amazing. So even though I didn't really enjoy any of my visits, you know, one person can make all the difference in the end. So, experiences that I have now. I don't even know where to start with that. There are a lot of experiences that I have now. I would say my biggest experience in terms of just here at the University of Virginia is, how different it is from anything that I had grown up with, anything that I had grown up around, the people I had grown up around. I can say that I have never been in a place where I have felt blacker than I feel than I do here, or had my race be so apparent. And I think that that has really been the impetus behind me, going out and pursuing leadership roles that I have pursued and doing the things that I have done. It's just because of, you know, a feeling that I got being on this campus that I can say that I never had before. And I, you know, as upsetting as I think it is in some regards, it really is the reason behind the things that I've done and the things that I want to do in life, and kind of shaping who I want to be, is being here and seeing what I want to do and what I want to change. So, anyways, thank you.
Got one. How's everybody doing? Good? All right, great. So my story is a little bit different from the two other panelists, Isaac and Erica. I'm actually from Birmingham, Alabama, as Dean Lewis said. So for me, I automatically knew sophomore year I'm absolutely not going to college in Alabama. I had to make that personal decision. And so what I ended up doing was I visited about 22 colleges across the country, everywhere from Midwest, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, South, everywhere. And I ended up applying to, I think, about 10 schools. And when I visited UVA, I fell in love with it. Everything about it, just like the whole environment, this whole student self-governance thing, I had never heard of that because, you know, in my high school in Alabama, like literally every student leadership meeting we ever did, like the professors or teachers, excuse me, were always telling us everything to do, you know, in student government in high school. And so seeing that student self-governance here and so many leaders here when I was a junior and I visited, I thought that was awesome. Then also the school was beautiful, everything else. I actually decided originally not to come here. I was going to go to Emory in Atlanta. And the biggest reason for that was because even though UVA has one of the best financial aid programs in the country, Access UVA, for some reason they must have like done like a double take on my application or something, because they actually didn't give me enough money at first. And I thank God for my mother, because she actually wrote a letter to President Casteen, a personal letter basically saying, you know, this is a travesty. You know, my son really wants the opportunity to come here. And needless to say, actually, the next week, financial aid was changed, and I was able to come here. And so I thank God for that moment. And that's really kind of my personal story. Did you have a second question, Boyega, that I'm supposed to answer? Okay. I'll just briefly talk about it, because I think we're probably going to go into more details in a little bit. But experience has been fantastic. It's been a life learning experience. I've kind of been like up and down on different roller coasters. There were moments where I thought that, you know, the reason I came here was for the comm school. That was the biggest reason. I didn't mention that before. And after I took statistics 212, I realized that was not going to be a possibility. And, you know, that was just, you know, a big down in my life. But, you know, like they say, when God closes one door, he opens another. And it was at that moment that I realized that political and social thought was another option for me. You know, when I originally came up through Beats, you know, how many of you all have heard of Beats? Black Expression Wears a Thought Society. All right, good. Old president is right there in the front row. Khalifa, I see you. You know, I originally, you know, thought that I would be able to lead Beats, but, you know, God ended up opening another door, and I ended up running for vice president of the student body. So, I mean, it's been ups and downs. It's been wonderful. It's been a life learning experience, and I'll let the rest of the panel speak from here. Thanks. Thank
you. So, good afternoon. My name is Lauren Murphy. I guess I'll start off by talking about why I chose UVA. First, I knew from high school that I wanted to go into engineering, and UVA has one of the best engineering programs in the country, and it's also in-state. I was not trying to pay out-of-state tuition for college. So it really came down to UVA, VCU, or Virginia Tech. I didn't want to go to VCU because I live like 20 minutes away, and I did not like want to go in the mall and see my mom in there or anything. I didn't want to go to Virginia Tech because it's just too far in the mountains. I'm not really a mountain type of girl. So I chose UVA because I get the best of both worlds. I'm close to home, but I'm still far away in order to be independent and on my own. So that's why I chose UVA. And I also did two programs. I did the IT program here, my 11th grade. So I came for the summer for a week and got to learn the engineering school and some of the professors. So that was a really good program. And then after graduation from high school, I did the bridge program here, which was awesome because we come, we stay, we get real life experience here at UVA. We're like a normal student. So I really fell in love with UVA after that. I got into NSBE, the National Society of Black Engineers, for those of you who don't know. I got into NSBE my second year. I started off as programs chair. And then this year, as a third year, I'm president now. And then next year, I hope to be on the regional board in charge of all the schools in Virginia, their NSBE program. But so far, I love UVA here. It's an excellent experience. You have a lot of one of the things that surprised me is that you have so many resources here at the school. A lot of the teachers are like world renowned. They're always there to help you and always lend like a helping hand. So my experience here has been great so far. Pass it over.
Hey, y'all. I'm Alicia. Bear with me. I don't talk in public. This is freaking me out for a little bit. So like Dean Lewis said, I'm from Amherst, Virginia. Does anyone know where Amherst is? Okay, you get 10 points in the back. It's very small, super small. You could probably walk from one end to the other in like 20 minutes, and we have one stoplight. Like, it's super small. I applied to UVA because my best friend told me to apply. I had originally applied to VCU in Sweetbriar, which was an all-girls school in Amherst, because they pay for all of your tuition if you're an Amherst graduate and you have a certain GPA. So that was my goal. I was like, okay, I go to school, I go for free. Okay, we can do that. And then I went to Sweetbriar to stay overnight, and I didn't stay. I made my mom come back and get me, and I was like, I hate this place. Get me out of here. These girls are getting on my nerves. So my mom picked me up, went home, and I was telling my friend about it the next day, and she was like, well, you should apply to UVA. And I was like, okay. You know, my dad's been a firefighter in Charlottesville for 23 years. I was like, okay, it's close. My dad is there. If anything happens, my mom can get me. So I applied to UVA and VCU. I got both of my letters back, and then I was just waiting for my financial aid package. Once I got the financial aid package, I was like, okay, UVA, here we go, which was awesome. I think the larger question is, why did I stay here? Because you come here during spring fling, and you see all these black people, and it's amazing, and then you come here during the school semester, and I lived in old dorms, and there were like 8 black people in the entire building. There were like 20 of us in the whole section, and I was like, I need to transfer. Someone get me out of here. This is ridiculous. But I stayed. I found community, specifically in the organization that I'm president of, which was then Impact. Found some girls that kidnapped me one night and took me to Walmart because I really needed to get some stuff, and I cried to them for about 3 hours, and they were like, you can make it. Like, you can stay. Get out of your room. Find community. So that's why I stayed. My experience here, it's been a little difficult. Coming from a smaller working class background, the transition to being here, we're students. I mean, yeah, we're professors. Like, your boathouse is bigger than my house at home. We're students, you know, their parents can not only afford for them to go here, but afford for them to buy, you know, everything they need, their laptops. And it was a big cultural shock for me because, I mean, the richest people in my neighborhood were the parents who, like, sold livestock, not the parents who, like, ran businesses and were lawyers and, like, CEOs and stuff like that. So it's a big transition culturally. But like I said, I found community. I found people who I realized, you know, were the same financial background as me, and realizing that, oh, I can make it in this place. Second reason is I took an African-American studies class. I took AS 360 with Claudrina Harrell. And I was like, this is what I want to do. This class, like this program, these people who teach these classes, I want to be a larger part of this intellectual development and progress and institution. So just like my major alone and the faculty in that, in the program, just helped me to stay here as well.
Good afternoon, everyone. All right, my name is Dewan Walker. I am a fourth year, as Dean Lewis told you. I am from Newport News, Virginia, and my background was a very interesting one. I came from a Southern Baptist church, Southern Baptist family. My father's a minister. My mother works for the government. I went to an all-white parochial school, and my choices for colleges were pretty unexpected by my parents. I used to joke with my mom that I wanted to go to Oxford, but she simply wasn't having that. I eventually ended up applying to 6 or 7 colleges across the Eastern Seaboard. All of the big three in Virginia, Virginia Tech, William & Mary, and UVA, and a few in North Carolina. I ultimately made my decision to come here based on financial aid. They gave me the most. And I came during fall fling, the weekend after spring fling. I couldn't make that. And the campus, Erica mentioned that the heavens didn't open up for any of her choices. The heavens didn't open up for me either, but I saw the lawn, and it was a lot for me to take in as a naive senior. So I clicked yes on the button, and I came here. And it's been an interesting experience. I guess if you were to graph the positivity of my experience over time, I'm a psychology major, so I kind of like statistics. It takes the quadratic form. It started off kind of rough. My first year, I didn't get a chance to really mingle as much. I'm kind of an introvert, even though I think my roommates might disagree with me. And my peer advisor was a big, big help in getting me to open up to the community. Also, Dean Bassett right there, she played a big role in my second year, really helping me to focus and concentrate on what I wanted to do as a career goes. And as you heard earlier, I'm the president of Brothers United Celebrating Knowledge and Success. And so my second year, I was invited to go to one of their events. And the current president at the time, Jason James, approached me out of sheer opportunity and ended up telling me about this organization. And since we work with young African-American males in high school, middle school, and elementary school, and since I had done a lot of volunteering with kindergartners and preschoolers during my high school days, I really liked the thought of it, and the rest is history. I ended up going on the exec board the next year, and now I'm the president. So it's been a good experience as far as Bucks goes. As far as my general overviews of the community, as we'll talk about a little bit later, I think as the alumni panel so eloquently addressed about an hour ago, community is definitely changing, and I think some of the dynamics of the university have lended toward things in the past are now totally different. And so the matter of the fact for the current students here is adjusting and creating changes and making the community our own, because at the end of the day, this is our community, as one of the panelists did say. So pleasure to be here, and I hope to share some wonderful discourse with you guys about our experience here at the university.
All right, thank you guys. And briefly, I'm from Richmond, Virginia. Moved down to South Carolina mid-high school because my mom got a job. I hated South Carolina. I couldn't stand it. I thought it was too slow. So I applied to the University of South Carolina, and the only out-of-state school my mom was willing to let me go to was the University of Virginia, because my sisters graduated from here in 99 and 2002. I got in, she cried, I was excited, and it's been a story since. My experience here, I would say, it's been, I would agree, it's been, you know, down and then up. I think UVA has a unique way of, for lack of better words, dumbing down your intelligence and making you question yourself at the beginning. But by the time you're third and fourth year, you start, you know, building that confidence and feeling like you are intelligent, you are smart, and it gives you a different perspective on the world than when you walked in. So that's my story. The goal is for us to, I'll ask them questions till about 3:15, and then I'm going to open the floor to you guys for the last 15 minutes to ask questions and then talk to them afterwards. All right? So I'll start it off. I have a question for Dewan, actually. How do you feel about the involvement and engagement of African-American males at the university? So I'll let you know.
All right. Black men. If you look around the room, there are a few of us out of all the heads. So initially, yes, finding black men is kind of a difficult task. And many people often believe that the only black men they see here are the athletes. So I've even myself, as a 5'7", small framed guy, been asked if I play soccer or something. But no, I'm not an athlete. And finding black men is definitely something that I've had a little bit of difficulty as, but it's also very rewarding when you do find black men who are like-minded and really want to push the idea of community. And let me see. I have an anecdote. So like I said, when I met Jason James of Bucks, he told me everything that they were entailing. And it's really interesting to see how Bucks has changed. A little history of Bucks started in 97, 97-98 year, a group of seven guys. They were interested in starting a new fraternity-like organization. And it's really cool to see that the type of cliques that develop among black men, it's very similar to fraternities. I think you find that black men tend to hang in collective groups. And as Bucks, I really think the goal of our organization is to help bring those cliques together and really create a camaraderie of black men who are of the same mind. So it's been an interesting task to do. We do a bunch of programs that try to focus through that. We have a Black Men's Breakfast where we've tried to get together black men and black alumni to discuss things that have happened in our community and how we can go out and continue to change the world. But I do think the dynamic is very interesting, and it's certainly changing. I don't know if Isaac maybe had any interjection on this, or Evan, but
no, maybe yes.
Well, on a broader question, whether Isaac wants to talk or anybody else, how do you spark the future leap? I'm fighting this thing, whatever. How do you spark future leaders within the community? Thank you, Isaac. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, I think you have to start with.
Oh, okay. Answer anybody else.
I can go. I think to spark leadership or spark a passion in and the younger undergraduates, you have to start with good leadership. And I think there are some key characteristics that you need to have as a leader. And I think that's passion, first of all. You need to have a goal and a vision of what you want to do. If you don't have a vision, then you're kind of just gonna travel the road or whatever, let the wind take you whichever way that it goes. I think with that, you need charisma as well. It's not always about just knowing what you wanna do. You also have to be able to convey it to other people. I think those are two big characteristics that really define a leader who can instill passion and purpose in another younger, like-minded individual.
In terms of raising up leaders, I think we have to be willing to put down our position as a leader and pick up our position as a server, first and foremost, because if we're not serving the Black community, they don't feel invested. They don't feel like we're invested in them. So then how should they feel invested in the community? And then how do they feel the need to lead the community by any means? I think that's a huge part of it. And just being selfless, I think as a leader, as a leader of a small group of people here at UVA, where you have a smaller amount of students, you have a smaller amount of resources, to some degree, you have to be selfless. You have to be willing to put down yourself to be able to help out another person, if that means waking up at 6 a.m. to help somebody get to the airport, if that means staying up that extra hour to help somebody with their paper. I think that makes a really big deal here, because I think a lot of Black students, what they're looking for is someone to show them that they're valued at an institution that ignores them, for the most part, to show that this person cares about me, this person sees me, because there's a certain type of student here that UVA will raise up as a leader. But I think as Black leaders, we have to pick those students who are a little more shy, who aren't the ones who are going to go out of their way to talk to their professors, who aren't going to go out of their way to join an organization. Because 9 times out of 10, those are the ones that are going to be really committed. Those are the ones that are going to have that passion, who aren't going to just be looking for something to put on their resume, but that are really looking to benefit this community and raise up UVA. And not just Black students, but students that share an equal struggle, Latino students here. Are another big issue. They are where the Black community was some years ago. There are very few of them here. So I think that's also just key in that. And then just making sure that we are being intentional in raising up leaders. Like, if we're not raising leaders, then we're irrelevant. And everything that we do is irrelevant, because once we graduate, it doesn't continue.
So as a follow-up question, do you feel at UVA you can be a student leader within the community without being tied to an organization?
Is that for me?
Anybody. This is all open-ended, unless I say your name.
I think that you can. I think that it's difficult to do that. But I do think that we are taught one way to lead, and you come in and you want to be the president of this, and you feel like that's the only way for your voice to be heard. But something that I just recently actually learned and hope to really practice and have over this past few months is just the idea that to be a leader here is so much, it's so much just being present. So even if you're not the president of this, the vice president of that, being at a meeting that you weren't invited to, because if they see that you are a Black person, their eyes open up, and they're not going to do things that they probably would do knowing that there are none of us in that room. So if you are in an honor meeting or something of that sort, even if you can't say that you are the president of this, the vice president of that, the fact that you are present, I promise you, they will change the way the things that they say. They will think twice before they say things because they see that you are a Black person. I mean, I feel like that's a way that we can be leaders and students can be leaders without really having that title. It's just not utilized to the level that it needs to be. So.
Anyone else? Okay. I'll ask this question towards Evan. Could you talk to us about your experience as a minority leader on student council?
Yeah, sure. The entire reason, actually, I decided to run for student council, so like I said before, I was in Black Expression Awareness and Thought Society. I was chief financial officer. And back then, I realized that there were a lot of great things I could do in my organization. Like, we raised $5,000 for one event. We hosted a young alumni event for Black alums coming in November of, I think, 2009, which was a really successful event. And but I knew that I wanted to take those same skills that I did in the Black community and in my organization and take them on the macro scale across the university. And that's when I first decided to run for student council vice president for organizations. I'd say that one key piece of leadership that I think that any student here, particularly minority students who decide to take the same path that I did, is to have persistence and perseverance. And the reason I say that is because, you know, when I decided to run for vice president, there were 1,000,001 people who told me that I shouldn't or I couldn't do it, right? And I mean, it's very unfortunate for people to say that, especially to a young Black male trying to do something at UVA. But I did it anyway, and I won. So this past year has been incredible. I've gotten the opportunity to work for, you know, the 800 student groups that, you know, I help manage at UVA. Like Erica said, one of the big things is when you're in these leadership positions, the big thing is that you show face and that you come to these meetings, even if you're not invited. Like, it could be some, like, a board of visitors meeting. Or it could be, a big meeting, I don't know, in another community, like in the Latino community or something like that. Or in the white Greek community or honor. And you just showing up as a leader. The very fact that they see you and your face and your presence, right, means a lot to them. Because, you know, it can keep people from saying stupid stuff, or it can make them think a different way, or it can make them think outside the box on particular issues. And I've been very fortunate to do that this past year as vice president, actually being the first Black VPO at UVA, which, I mean, it's unfortunate that there hasn't been a Black VPO until me, but it's been great being in that position and influencing people in that way. But I'll definitely say that kind of, I think the second part that you're touching on, this past year, or this past semester, I ran for president of the student body. And that was probably one of the toughest experiences I've been through at UVA because, whereas a year ago people were telling me that I shouldn't do it, this time around, I think so many ways, implicitly and explicitly, as a minority leader, your race is put into so many conversations and your race is put into so many issues when you never asked anybody, to put it there. Right. And so I think that, obviously, I think it's important that we kind of go through that experience as Black leaders at UVA, because we're going to have to deal with that the rest of our lives in America, because unfortunately, that's just how the system works. But the big thing, like I said before, is to persevere and to be persistent, no matter what. So that's what I take from being a student council.
Okay. Another question for Lauren, actually. Given that engineering is such a daunting field of study, how would you describe your social network? How would you describe the support your friends give you to not only succeed in engineering, but also to be the president of NSBE?
I think that here, you're right, the engineering school is rough, especially... Well, it's kind of like you come in and it's rough because a lot of the students here don't have the same resources and opportunities that their other counterparts had who might have went to like other high schools and such. So from the jump, a lot of us have lower math scores and science scores than other students here. So that's entering in. And I feel like in order to get through the East School, it's important that other Blacks in the engineering school band together. And that's why I think NSBE is so important, because we are really like a family. We can call on each other anytime. We're always up throughout the night together. So I think that having a family sense of environment really helps you get through the East School and helps it to not be as rough, because everyone else is struggling. Everyone can relate to where you come from. Everyone knows how it feels to be the only Black person in your major, your year. Like my year, I'm a second year, and there's only two Black biomedical people in the E-School, third years. So just having a sense of family is really important in order to get through school.
Does anybody else want to touch on that? Not the engineering school specifically? Anyone? All right. Next question. And this is open to anyone. Could you discuss the difficulties and advantages of maintaining a life, school, work, faith, physical, mental health? How do you balance all those challenges that you'll have, you know, at the university?
I think, well, over my 4 years of experience, I've learned the two biggest things that I hadn't faced prior is when to say no and time management. Since I've become a student leader, it's been a really big strain on my time as far as dividing what I wanted to do, what I had to do, and what I knew I could do. So I think one of the big things that I've learned is how to learn to say no when I'm given opportunities or asked to do a certain thing, and then also preparing what I need to do the week before, when I need to do it, and staying on top of what I have to do.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I'm glad that you asked that question, because one thing I didn't even know I was going to get into was that being a student leader would be like a 35-hour week job, like unpaid. But the first thing I had to realize was that I had to take time for myself, because there are so many different student groups, so many leaders who always want to have coffee, tea, lunch. Let's talk about the issues. And then sometimes you got to tell them, no, I got to go work out, or I got to go study. I got to get my academics on. That's why I'm here. I think that the other big thing, though, to make it a little easier for you, is I always like to think of it as an interdisciplinary focus. So basically, I always like to take what I learn in the classroom and actually enact it, like, in my student organization. Right. So, for instance, you know, I've taken certain like management or organizational behaviors as a part of my minor in the comm school. I mean, obviously, I was able to use that in my student organization. But the big thing, for instance, in political and social thought, you know, the other day we studied Rawls's theory of justice, right? And I ended up using that to write a letter about an anti-Semitic incident that we're going to put in the Cav Daily next week, right? So, I mean, the big thing is using what you learn in the classroom in your organizations and trying to connect it in that way so that you force yourself to make time for your studies because, you know, you love them that much because you realize that you can do a better job as a student leader if you stay on top of your work and if you stay on top of your classes and everything. So,
just really quick. I think what helps me is just to know exactly what is most important. So to me, my school is most important. That's what I came here for. I want to, you know, I don't want this to be the last school I get into. So consequently, if things have to, you know, be put on the back burner, they do. And I think that sometimes it is easy to forget that, especially, you know, we like to, and it's huge and it's amazing, the graduation rate of African-American students at this university. I just hope and pray and sometimes hear sad numbers in terms of just where or what grades they're graduating with or what their prospects are after. So, you know, I think that it's really just important in terms of balancing everything to know what's most important. And that is just a lifesaver for me.
Just really quickly, I think a really important part of just being a president and being a student is knowing that, like, you're not a president alone. And, like, I have some of my exec board here. And just really learning to trust the people that are on that exec board with you and that can, you know, really help you out to not, I think as black students, sometimes we feel like if we don't do it, no one's going to do it. If we don't do it, it's going to fall apart. But to really trust other students that are here that have just as much commitment to these organizations that we are hit over. To trust that they love the organization enough, even if they're not on the exec board, students that are in these organizations, to ask them, hey, we have this going on, can you help us do this? And then secondly, just my faith really brings me through a lot. On leadership, we joke around, but like we say God is sovereign, like all the time, just because as a student, you're not gonna get it all done. You're not always gonna get that grade on that paper, you're not always gonna get the grade in the class, but as personally as a Christian, I'm just like, as long as I'm doing the best that I can do, as long as I'm putting God first, then like it doesn't matter what my transcript says. And that also takes the ability to just be content sometimes, and to be content with where you are, and to be content with like a plan that might be out of your hands possibly. And you know, I say a lot of times, like, ambition can drive people like crazy sometimes. And to be like, you know, these are my limits, or to be like, you know, this is what I care about. I know that the world really cares about this, or I know the UVA really prides itself on this, but you know, that's not where my heart is. Because I think we'll go crazy sometimes trying to meet other people's standards when we're not even taking care of ourselves.
True. One of the things that I learned is being able to delegate tasks, and then being able to step away and actually having faith that people actually carry it out is something that I learned is a huge, 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 can't stress it enough, thing in order to be an effective student leader here at UVA.
All right, and my next question involves Greek life, and I want to talk to the three panelists that are in Greek organizations, and we'll start off with Isaac. How do you feel about the Greek community at UVA in comparison to other universities, and also how has that affected your experience at the university?
I'm going to answer the latter part first. The comparison, how it affects me, not to sound like rude or anything, it doesn't affect me. I personally just can't see myself being wanting to be affected by outside influences of, I don't know how to put this, just I don't want to say that I see another school doing well or doing worse or comparing myself to them and having them affect how the Greek life here should operate and how it should carry itself out. Now, when I say affect, I mean, that doesn't mean you have to mimic everything, you have to quote-unquote hate or whatever the case is, but, you know, you may get some ideas from them, or you may talk to other individuals to see what kind of programs or how they're carrying their own Greek system out. In response to the former part of your question, I personally do think that the Greek life system here is, I think it is more united than what is always portrayed and projected out to the community. I just think that sometimes the outside community looking in may not always have a clear 2020 vision of what goes on within the Greek community behind closed doors. I also think that the Greek community, sometimes they're also, you know, in correlation to the Greek community and just the regular outstanding student body community and the Charlottesville community. I just don't think sometimes that there's always a great level of appreciation as a whole for everything that everyone tries to do for each other. Because being a student leader, whether you're Greek or not, you know, being quite honest, University of Virginia is a very rigorous school with very rigorous demands, no matter what your major is. So, you know, like you may call some of your friends or talk to some of your other friends and they're playing video games or whatever on a Tuesday night while you're trying to plan a meeting or whatever the case is, or you're trying to plan an event for other people. And when you do plan that event and only four or five people come out, it can be discouraging sometimes, no matter whether you're in a Greek organization, whether you're in a panel like this or whatever. But I think the difference with the Greek organization is that when you do go through your initiation to become a member of your fraternity or your sorority, one of the things that's instilled in you is really service. And I think once you really buy into the service, the brotherhood and the sisterhood of what goes on, you really start genuinely building up and warming up to that, because everybody joins for different reasons, whether it be brotherhood or service. You know, if you join for all reasons, not every reason is always going to be equal as the other. But as long as you buy into the whole thing, and the number one thing is always loyalty, because no matter what you do, you can always talk, you can always say you're going to do X, Y, and Z, but somehow, one way or another, God's gonna shine light on your actions. One way or another, he's a person that can judge you, as a Christian speaking. But that's the only way, you know, you have to truly be genuine at your heart about everything you want to do, because when you're not genuine about everything, it's gonna show at one point in time.
Okay. I just want to, I think, echo the point of not being discouraged, just in terms of, you know, numbers. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, then you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. I would say personally, everything for me is just about I guess being a part of something that's bigger than myself, you know, a part of something where, you know, the whole is greater, the sum of the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, and something that can create magic. And that is really what my experience has been in terms of Greek life here. It's been amazing. It really has. And I think that, again, a point to echo is not to look at other schools, because I know, I have a lot of friends from D.C. who went down to Atlanta, and they're at Morehouse, Spelman, and, like, just point blank. I mean, hearing all of that, it just, it's not constructive at all to what I'm trying to do. So being confident that at the end of the day, you know, if you're giving it your all and you're doing, you know, your best in the name of, you know, your organization, that's what you have to do, and that's all you can do. So it is, for me, been an amazing experience. You know, I hope that, you know, it's easy to get discouraged just because of the numbers. You know, if you look at the numbers on this campus in terms of Greek life, yeah, it's... It has changed, and it's easy to get discouraged. But at the, you know, we really are doing some of the amazing things on campus. So I'm appreciative every day. So that's really what I have to say.
So far, Greek life here has been good. One of the things that I enjoy most of it is just the support system that we have with each other. No matter like what's going on, no matter how stressful my classes in the engineering school are, I can always just come back to a group that I know will always, no matter what, be there for me. And also being able, going back to what Isaac said about service, that's one of the main reasons why I decided to join a Greek organization, was just because I wanted to be able to go out and impact the lives of others. We currently have our Black Love campaign, which is going on, and that's just to support Black unity here, and not only Black unity, but just unity as a whole here at UVA. It's an excellent campaign, so make sure you get a wristband.
What we raise goes towards the Lupus Foundation of Virginia, just for a little plug. It costs a dollar.
And the last question before I open up the floor. If you had two adjectives or verbs or whatever to describe your experience or what you would like your experience to be at the University of Virginia when you graduate, what would it be? And then we'll open up. You guys can ask questions off that or anything else we've discussed or any other questions you may have had. And so whoever wants to start. Dewan, you can start. What you would like it to be by the time you graduate, or what do you feel it is now?
This is a little cliche, but I think the first adjective for what I would like it to be would be diverse. We always tend to boast about diversity here at UVA, and I think we have taken initiatives to really increase our diversity. For example, they have the multicultural class, EDLF 5000, for those of you who know it. And they really try to push discussing and discourse on topics across communities. So I think that's something that we're reaching for. And I think that would be an idealistic adjective to really describe what I would like the university to be. I think mine is the second adjective, mine. I want it to be my university. I want to be able to come back and say, when I look at this university, this is mine. I did X, Y, and Z. I put this in here. This, as Gary Flower said in the last panel, this is UVA Incorporated. We are shareholders of this university, so ultimately this should be my university. I should be able to have an effect on what I say. What I say should have an effect on what people think and what people do here at the university.
We can just go in order. He took my first one. I was gonna say diverse. I probably won't do adjectives. I'll probably just do the words I like best. I'd like it for it to be more unified as we graduate. I'd like for it to be more unified. I know people constantly have the conversation of what happened to the Black community. Like, it's not a new conversation. People before us were having it. But at the end of the day, I would like for it to be, like, more unified. And replication. Like, everyone that's on this board, like, I don't know everyone personally, but they're all really awesome people. And their organizations that they are a part of are extremely awesome and amazing. And like, I feel very blessed to be on a panel with these people, and I would like to see just further replication of Black leaders, leaders who are selfless, leaders who are willing to challenge one another to, you know, kind of like keep pushing, keep going. And then to just like Black love, like to be there to love the community.
That was a good question. I would say life changing. I'll put it together, making it one word. I feel like coming here first year and then seeing where I am now and then a year later graduating, I feel like I'm not going to be the same type of person that I am. I feel like I've been exposed to so many different cultures, so many dynamic people, so many experiences that I never thought that I would even have the opportunity to see. I've been abroad. I never thought that I would actually study abroad. Just life-changing. And then the second thing is, it's not really a word, but like have more of an impact in the community. I feel like UVA has so much to offer, but there's, I feel like there's a disconnect from the UVA and the community. And I feel like we have so many people here who can go out and encourage other people in the community to, you know, you can go to college. I was like you when I was little. I didn't think I was going to make it to college, but here I am now. Here I'm about to be an engineer, and just exposing them to the different possibilities that are out there is something that I would like to see happen.
Alrighty, well, I'll say two things. First one is a word, second one's a phrase. So the first one is confidence. I think that's what UVA has, especially the Black community, has really given me, because that's something that I did not have a whole lot of in high school, and even coming here from Birmingham, Alabama, being like one of two people from my whole class from Birmingham to even come to UVA my year, and the other person was white, mind you. Confidence is something that, you know, to challenge myself in the classroom, to take a risk, to run for office, all those sort of things. I think that's really what my experience at UVA has given me. I say the second thing is a phrase. Sorry, I know we're supposed to do nouns, adjectives. For mine, I hope that, you know, once I've left here, that I've built the next generation. You know, constantly, probably in each of my leadership positions, I've always tried to look for those first or second years that are wide-eyed, that want to really have a huge impact themselves at UVA, and they don't necessarily have the skills or resources yet to do that. And I always am trying to pull people under my wing and always trying to build them up so that when I leave here, you know, they can fully, you know, inherit everything and, you know, run this university. And I, you know, I've been proud to, I look at myself in like semi-retirement. We're going into our fourth year, you know. Yeah, I'm already looking at it that way. so right now, you know, I really hope that I've been able to inspire people to challenge themselves while they're currently students. So,
I would say this is probably very much influenced by, I just went to this Ella Baker Day symposium, and it was absolutely amazing. So if anybody has a chance to go over there, it's at the Rotunda. I would definitely recommend it. And Ruby Sales actually spoke. And I guess the word that I would say, and I can't even, you know, I think I hope, it's great that he's in retirement. I don't think I'm in retirement. I really need to, you know, I want to do more before I leave here. I'm a third year. I would say that the word that I would hope to be able to leave with in this is just controversial or militant or something. Like, we need to do something. I just feel like, you know, Lauren touched on the whole, look, we need to go out into the community. I mean, we seem to tour poverty at this university. Like, we go out and we look at it and, you know, and we talk about it in our class, but I don't feel like University of Virginia does a lot. I don't feel like the Black community does a lot. I don't feel like I do enough. I think that, you know, I also heard a woman speak from, she's a representative from the University of Michigan. She's here for Teach for America. And she was just talking about how, you know, our students come in and they really don't know the issues. They don't, there's this culture of not, it's not really cool to, it's not that it's not cool, but it's not cool to know what's going on. So they want to be do Teach for America. They want to tour poverty. They want to say that they do things, but they don't. Okay, my word is militant. I just think that we need, the Confederate History Month. Like, what is that? Like, this is what Ruby Sales was talking about. Just, to ask questions. Like, what do you need to celebrate in Confederate history? Like, what is the need? Why is that happening? Ask questions. And so I pray that when I leave here that, I feel like I did enough. I don't have another word, but I would say maybe inspiring to go with that. But yeah.
I'm gonna give two words. April 1st, righteous and loyal. May 22nd, appreciative and accountable.
And this is your opportunity. Oh. And now we have, I went a little over time, but we do have time to ask questions, and I said, wow, y'all did good. We're going to start right there, because I saw you first. Yeah, go ahead. And please introduce yourself, the year you graduated, all that stuff.
I'm Darren Jones, class of 2007, I go to beta chapter at Alpha Alpha Incorporated. I have a question for you guys. Everybody in this audience, the black community isn't what it used to be. The BB ain't popping no more. The EET ain't popping no more. This, that, and other. And then I'm still on that stuff, so I still get the, what the events are, maybe to check on that. But there's always program, what happened, why are we not like this, not like that. But I'm curious as to, do you think there's more focus on what it used to be as opposed to getting it where you would like it to be?
I'll let you go first, man.
As a non-panelist, yes. Go ahead.
I agree. In a yes or no statement, yes. I think that's just the nature. I personally just think that's the nature of not even just the generation, but just how life is. For example, when you turn on the news, you never hear a story of somebody donated $500,000 to this charity or $1 million to this. You just hear this earthquake happened, or this robbery happened, or this high-speed chase happened. It's always more of a focus on the negative, because I feel that's just what we're kind of prone to do sometimes. Everybody's always saying, this is whack, or this is how it used to be. People are saying, all these single parents these days and things like this. I'm pretty sure back in the 60s and 70s, the same thing was happening, because my parents told me the same things were happening. And they're from Ghana. They're not even from America. So they were telling me this stuff is happening. So I think it's just more of a focus on the negatives, as opposed to like what Mr. Jones was saying, more of a focus on the positives and the things we need to do. Because one of the things we've failed to realize is that even though people always say strengths in numbers, sometimes it can be the opposite. When you have, roughly a couple of thousand or a few thousand African Americans or blacks or minorities, it should be, on paper, it should be easier to stick together. It should be easier to stick together and come together as one, as opposed to when somebody's in the cab daily and they say, oh, who drew this picture or who drew that? But actually coming together and actually wanting to take action to go forward, because if we do realize what we have around us, we can do a lot more. We're just not focused on it, because UVA has so many resources. Like, if you want to have an event or something, you're saying you don't have money. There are many people out there that can help you with these things. The problem is you just have to be focused enough to do it, because they're out here. And it took me 5 years to get out of here, but I'm grateful and blessed that May 22nd, I can hopefully get out of here. And, and when everything that you take and learn, it's not about what you learn. But like I said before, you have to really be grateful to apply what you learn, because there's always somebody out there who has it worse than you. So.
Right.
To answer your question real quick.
I hate to do this, but there were a lot of questions, so I want to kind of rapid fire. So it's a quick draw to the mic.
Remember, the first event was a crisis in the Black Leadership Meeting my first year. That was like the first huge Black event I ever remember. That was unfortunate. And before, when I spoke about semi-retirement, I spoke about investing in the next generation. Because I think that's the most important part, investing in the future. That was really my only point. Thanks for asking that question.
Hi, my name is Brian Bonner. I'm from the class of 1990, and I have a narrow question for Erica and Dewan in particular, because if I heard your credentialing correctly, both of you either have a major in or a minor in philosophy. When I graduated in 1990, I was the only African-American philosophy student to graduate in philosophy. So it's a two-sided question. The first question is, what drew you particularly to philosophy? And then second, since the 20 plus years when I graduated, are more African Americans drawn to what, at least when I was in school, was a very non-traditional major for African American students?
Before Erica goes, I'm gonna disappoint you, Mr. Bonner. I'm actually a psychology major. That was misread, I apologize.
I'm in an interdisciplinary program. It's political philosophy, policy, and law. But political philosophy is, you know, the main reason why I went that direction. There are not many of us, I would say, in the classes that I've taken. I think that, you know, people come in. You know, after my first 2 years, I really did do more things specifically with political philosophy, policy, and law. But early on, I was taking a lot of philosophy classes to be able to get into that program. Now, I do see a lot of younger African-American students going towards things that I think are just more acceptable. You know, commerce. Hey, we all try to do commerce, I feel like. Like, at a certain extent, you start off day one, and I'm pretty sure 50% of the incoming black freshmen first years are commerce, and it changes. You know, things change. But, you know, I do think that the same issue that was probably alive when you were in school is still here. It's not as accepted. I don't see as much acceptance. You know, I think that if they didn't knack on the law at the end of my major, I know I would have heard some stuff from my parents. So point blank, it's just people, I think that the same things are alive, and you don't see it. You see it, I'm sure, a lot more. I've seen African Americans; they're a lot more interested in it. You might have been thinking of Evan when you said that, because he does some more philosophy type things, but in his major. But I mean, it's still alive. I think that you're pressured to do things that are a little bit more. I can get a job when I get out of college.
But one of the things I wanted to point out is Evan, you made a comment, and I think it's important to correct that, this because it's important that you guys understand what we've done and what can be done. You're not the first BPL. Actually, Tanisha Sullivan in the class of 94, 95 was BPL, and she may not have been the first, she was just the one she knew of, the one that was there when we were there. Actually, between 1994 and 99, every student government president, student body president at the university, was either an African American or a minority, and there was one exception, Scott Fishman, who was a Jewish American. But he was so integrated into our coalition that we consider him to be a part of, I think he had a membership of the BSA. The Constitution that you guys use now, I drafted. The first elections that went online, the Scott Fishman and Andre Dean, who are good friends of mine, who I saw last night, they executed that. The Multicultural Center in the Newcomb was a class here from 96. The VP for Diversity proposal was drafted in 94 by the students. That ultimately led to the VP for Diversity that you guys have at the university. All these things were done by African American students in collective action. And so I want to empower you guys to know that, contrary to what you may perceive about what's happening, the reality is, you know, fortunately for you guys, you're not the first to do it. And it can be done, and much more can be done. The other thing that I've noticed is that there's no representative from the BSA. Why is there not a BSA
member on the panel? Is there a BSA? She's supposed to be here, but she's on the selection committee for a very important honor, and they needed her, so she was pulled out at the last moment.
Yeah. When we first got to the university, the Blackstone Alliance was the core board that kind of pulled us all in. And then what we did in 93 was we said, look, all of us are going to integrate into these other organizations, Student Council, Honor, Judish, the CAB Daily, the University Journal, which isn't here anymore. And 4 years later, we ran every last one of those institutions. And I'll say this and I'll sit down. It's important to understand that I wasn't the first African-American student body president. Terry Gray was the president in 1995. Yep. And Andre Barnes was in 1991. And then there were some in the 1970s. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to understand that you want to walk in the path that's already been laid for you and realize that you're empowered to do all this and not at all feel like you're having to fight it anew. And you should be empowered by it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you were fighting, so yeah. Thank you.
Marlon Smith, 1990, School of Engineering. I want to ask you, when I came, there were certain individuals that celebrated relationships. You would see brothers and sisters holding hands, and many of these individuals ended up getting married. So I just wanted to find out, what's the culture like here as far as relationship, dating, from your perspective?
I think, can I start and I'll pass? I think DeJuan wants to answer, but I think that we laugh because we're in a culture where you kind of want to hide, what's close to you because you feel like people judge, there are people that are too into your business. I mean, a professor said this interesting to me. He said when he was in college and he went into his dorm room and closed the door, no one could know anything about what he was doing, where he was, unless they knocked on that door. And now we have Facebook, Twitter, cell phones, text messaging. So, people always have access to you and always have access to people who know you. So there's not that sense of privacy. And so for me, I think, I prefer to keep my relationship private because, I think it's private because, I want that sense of privacy. But DeJuan, I'll let you go.
Just to echo off of what Boyega said, privacy is definitely a big deal now with all of the new media interfaces we can use. I personally am in an exclusive relationship with a girl that goes to this university. And it is a very interesting dynamic to see because I have been in a relationship for about 3 years now. And to see the difference, the type of personalities that we actually see who actually engage in relationships. So to break it down real quick, you have those in relationships, those who are on the prowl. There are stereotypes. We have stereotypes. I'm not quite sure how it was when you were in school, but we have plenty of stereotypes. I don't want to beg on any of you previous alumni athletes, but there's the athlete stereotype who seems to get a lot of play from the women. There's so many things. There's so many dynamics that play into the I don't even know what to call it, the relationship status here at the university. But I think the best thing, like Ade said, is to really try to keep what you do private. We live in a society today that really harps on you do what you prefer to do. It's your choice, whether that's engaging in a heterosexual, homosexual, whatever you want to do. As long as you keep what you do to yourself, I think that's probably your goal for success here at the university.
Yeah, I think I just need to disrupt that a little bit. It's funny because I was talking about this with some friends the other day, and we could not name, I think, maybe more than 3 or 4 black couples. Openly black couples who you actually, they allowed you, or they spoke to each other in the bar, did not stand on separate ends, just in case anybody would maybe assume something. And I don't think that that is a positive thing, and I understand the need to keep things private because, a lot of things can interfere and create tension, but in the end, I think that you need to see that. Like, you need to see that, that still exists. And I think for black women, sometimes you just even need to see that black men are, never mind. Let me not,
Go ahead. That black men are acknowledging you. I'll say it
for you. Go ahead.
I mean, no. I, it, you know, you need to see that black men are, you know, we have such talented, beautiful black women here, and you don't even feel like black men at this university see that. And I'm not trying to create anything, and, you know, I don't have any, you know, problems with anybody, but point blank, I don't think that it is positive that you don't see anybody on this campus. I mean, like I said, I cannot name three openly black couples. I can name you. That's honestly, it would be difficult, but I can honestly cannot, and I cannot, I don't know exactly why, I you know, but it really is, I think, a tragedy in a certain extent, so.
You, yeah. Go ahead. I got you next. Oh, sorry, she beat you, man. I got you, though. I got you. Sorry.
Good afternoon. I'm Tavada Bradford, class of 1998, and of course, we hosted our alumni panel this morning, and the bridge is, of course, for you all to tell your experience. And so I think earlier someone stated that they thought that, oh, we wanted it to be like the old days. That's not the case. You are honored, or should be honored, to sit in the seat as a student at this university. And it is our hope as alumni of this university for the work that we put in to build this community, because again, the whole concept of the academic village, you were put here for a certain reason. There was probably somebody from your same high school, your same town, that had the same grades that you had, but you were selected for what you could bring to this university. So what I implore you and all of your peers to do is to assign yourself. It concerns me that the only thing I can hear, oh, well, the unity, you know, we're not as unified as we need to be, we could be, and you see that one of the greatest gifts of this university is a student-run government. You, as a student, have the ability to approach any professor, any faculty member, to make anything happen on this campus. So I would hate to talk to any of my younger sorors or anybody else to hear in a year that there is still a challenge or issue of unity, per se. There have been other issues I know that we experienced in the 90s, but I can't say that unity was an issue that we had in the 90s, because everybody made sure that we got along. Like y'all talk about the DB and the BET and whatever. Yeah, those were points or symbolic pieces of experience and what people together. So again, assign yourselves. Make use of the alumni this weekend to really talk to them, to talk about what can we do right here, right now, today, to own this experience. Your 4 years, your 5 years, whatever, I hope it's four. But
many conversations I've been having with many of the current students that the black community and black numbers and involvement, and then being one of the leaders that just left, the numbers are dwindling. And I would like to know you all, do you feel as if the alumni, Carter G. Wilson and NAAA can be a strong effect or help in those numbers in those situations?
Yeah. As an African American Studies major, I'm down with Carter G. I think it's awesome. I think that both Carter G. Woodson and OAAA provide a very unique space for African-American students, and not just African-American students, but issues that face other ethnicities that African-American students face as well, as in terms of class. That's a huge thing that's going on now. Now you're seeing more and more non-black students in OAAA printing their papers off, and you know, I don't have the money to do this, I don't have a printing card, things like that. I think that I'm always in OAAA. I'm sure Dean Lewis can vouch for that, but I'm always in there. And there, like, if y'all remember that, you have your table in the front before you go print. And there's a certain love and family and community that you get when you walk in OAAA and everybody's like, oh, hey, how are you doing? And to be able to sit down and talk to students, distract them from their work for a couple minutes, and just be like, what's up with your life? What's going on? These spaces that we don't necessarily get, which are very important to me because I came in old dorms first year. They did their UVA's form of integration, basically, and you had 8 black people in a building, 3 black people in a building. So to be able to go to a space where there were a lot of black people, where everyone I turned, it wasn't a white person, not that I'm racist or anything like that, but to like have that was very important to me. And I think without those spaces, you know, when we had our living wage march, which included funding for Carter G, we met at OAAA. I think that that makes a big difference. Like, those are the spaces where we meet to be militant, to have our plans, to come up with our master plan of how we're going to turn this university upside down on its head. Like, those are the spaces that we do it.
Can I just say something really quickly? I think that just in terms of alumni, in terms of even faculty, Carter G, you know, and this is going to be a little controversial, but in terms, like, student self-governance, it is one of the biggest, most amazing traditional things that, not traditional, but UVA traditions that, you know, people like to put out there. And I agree that it is, you know, an amazing ideal. But the fact is that we are here for 4 years, maybe 5. We have to leave. We're leaving. And it's so difficult to have, you know, such a low retention rate of African-American faculty, you know, even people who are established coming back, and you do come back, but just we need people to be there, and that is not the case right now. And I know it's up to us to do something, but I so often feel as though it's an excuse when going to, you know, some of the higher up white, you know, Jefferson enforcement of this university, they can say things like, oh, well, you know, it's student self-governance. This is you, like, you take the reins. And it's difficult because they can say that because that's such a tradition, but we're going to leave at a certain point, and we're doing things, but we can't even keep faculty around enough to really remember what we were doing back then, and things get lost. And I know that that's something that we need to take agency over, but I do think that that's a problem here. And you know, I think that there's a greater role that needs to be played at this point.
All right. I think we went over, but I really appreciate you guys coming out. Let's give a round of applause for our panel. And